Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Hey there, welcome to the show. Come on in, make yourself at home. My name is Gary Zimak. It's so good to be back with you here as this week we look at the Mass readings for the fifth Sunday of Easter. The theme is the vine and the branches, and I'll explain a little bit more about what that means as we look at these readings. But again, it's great to be back with you as we continue through this Easter season. Remember, we've talked about this. Easter is much more than a day. We celebrate this for several weeks. This week is the fifth Sunday. This Sunday is the fifth Sunday of Easter. Next Sunday, the sixth Sunday. And then after that, the following Sunday, is we celebrate the solemnity of the Lord's Ascension, which leads us up to the following Sunday after that, which is Pentecost Sunday. So, you know, we're still in this mode of celebrating the Easter season. We're going to be doing it for a few more weeks. We don't want to lose sight of the great event that occurred when Jesus rose from the dead. And all of the readings are designed, and you're going to hear this, whether between the daily Mass readings and the Sunday Mass readings, they're designed to call attention to the fact that Jesus is alive, that he is alive, and he continues to work both through us and, you know, with us in a personal way, but primarily through his church. So Jesus is active in the church. And really, that's the message of today's program. We are the branches. Jesus is the vine. Unless we remain connected to the vine, we're not going to be able to bear the good fruit that the Lord is counting on us to bear. So I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's what we're going to talk about on the program. Why don't we do this? Let's pray. Let's turn to our Heavenly Father as we officially begin this program. Then I'll talk a little bit more on the other side about an exciting piece of news, something that I'm really thrilled about. But let's pray first, and then we'll do that. Now, before we pray, as I always do, I do this not just for your benefit. I do this for my benefit as well, because I'm sitting here recording this program. I'm looking at a microphone. I'm staring at a computer screen. I don't see God the Father anywhere around me. I don't see him here. I see things, but I don't see the Father. So I always like to call attention to the fact that we are in the presence of our Father in heaven, and that we're about to speak with him, which is an incredible privilege. You know, so many times I can be guilty of just launching into my prayers and not recognizing what a great privilege it is to be able to have this conversation with God and understand that he cares about what I have to say. You know, you're not going to find somebody more important than God the Father, and yet he cares. If a celebrity would care about listening to me, I would be shocked. But the fact that God cares about me on a personal level, and you too, he cares about us personally and loves us individually, that's pretty amazing. So let's place ourselves in the presence of God the Father right now and turn to him in prayer as we begin. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be able to have this conversation with you. And to know that you're listening, Father, that's even more important. To know that you're really listening to what we have to when we turn to you in prayer. Father, we first praise you for who you are, Almighty God, creator of the universe, creator of us as well. We praise you for the work you have done throughout history. We praise you for your magnificence. We praise you for your infinite love. We thank you for creating us, Father. We thank you for giving us this time that we could spend with you in prayer. Father, we turn to you today, and we ask you to help us with our needs, whatever they are. You know better than we do what we need. And we ask you, Father, please provide for our needs. Please keep us safe. Please increase our desire to do your will. Please increase our desire to listen to the words of your Son, Jesus. Please increase our desire to love others, even if we don't like them. Father, we pray for our country. We pray for the world. We pray that your peace will become more evident in the world. We pray for those who don't know you. We pray for those who are struggling for any reason. We pray for healing for the sick. We pray for the souls in purgatory. And Father, I ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon me so that I can deliver the message that you want me to deliver today. And I ask you to open all of our hearts and all of our minds, Father, so that we can hear what you have to say to us and be willing to put it into practice in our lives. Father, we ask these things as we always do in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Honestly, thank you for praying with me. It means so much to know that you are listening, that you are praying with me. And I feel it is such an incredible privilege to be able to share this time with you. I don't take this lightly. I really don't. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful to all of those, all of the Catholic stations who are carrying this program. I'm grateful to the podcast services who are making it available in podcast form. And I'm just grateful that I'm alive and able to do this, what I do. So I'm just grateful. I really am. Hey, I want to let you know a piece of good news. I'm excited about this. I mentioned to you that I have a new book coming out. It's an Advent book. It's called Find Peace in Advent. It's a daily devotional. It's very similar to Give Up Worry for Lent, but it's based on the daily mass readings during Advent. You know, Advent's one of those times where we're supposed to be preparing to welcome Jesus. It's a time of peace. It's a time of hope and preparation. But you know what happens? We get so distracted with all that needs to be done before Christmas that oftentimes Advent becomes very stressful. So I'm excited about this book. It's something that I think is very doable. And if you've read Give Up Worry for Lent, it is honestly similar in format to that book. So it's something that only takes a couple of minutes each day. And my goal is to give you peace through this book by connecting with the Lord, trying to eliminate some of those things which may keep us apart from him. And that's the purpose of the book. Now, the good news is it is now pre-orderable either on Amazon or through Ave Maria Press, which is the publisher. It's pre-orderable. The book comes out in August. I think the official release date is August the 2nd. But if you do pre-order the book now, you'll be able to get a copy as soon as it is available, which typically is a week or possibly more before the release date. So if you pre-order the book, you're going to be among the first to receive it. You can go to Amazon.com. You can go to Ave Maria Press as well, or you can just go right to my website, followingthetruth.com, to pre-order the book. Again, it's called Find Peace in Advent, and I'm excited about it. And you will hear more about it. I'm not going to talk too much about it until we're closer to Advent, but I'll let you know again when it's officially released. But the tentative release date is August. Again, I'm not sure the exact date. I believe it's August the 2nd. It is very early in the month of August. So followingthetruth.com we'll get you more information as far as that book goes. Also, if you want to book me to speak, I booked my first Give Up Worry for Lent Parish Mission for 2025. I'm negotiating for some potential Find Peace in Advent retreats that I'll be leading this year. And if you want to bring me in to speak, and that goes for any time of the year, just head on over to followingthetruth.com and you'll see a link, you'll see a tab which says, or I think a button, it's all over the website, invite Gary to speak. You could do that if you are interested. Again, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right, let's do these readings now. The vine and the branches. I like this because, you know, as someone who tends to be a bit controlling and someone who can't sit still when I think something needs to be done, I tend to just go off on my own and do things. This message this week, the Sunday Mass readings for the fifth Sunday of Easter, remind me of the importance of sticking with Jesus. And obviously obeying the teachings of the church, that's huge. That's the main message from this that I think is contained in these readings this week. But it's also as simple as asking Jesus for help. Like before I started recording this program, I prayed, even before we prayed together on the air, I asked the Lord to give me the words. When I write my daily email reflections, I always try to remember to ask the Lord to help me. But I have this tendency sometimes to just take off and forget to ask for his help. That doesn't mean he's not helping me, but I like to really make it a point to consciously ask Jesus to help me, to give me the words. Because even if I have a good message, a positive message, I want to make sure it's the message that he wants me to share. So that's something that I constantly have to remember. I'm not in control. If I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus, I have to follow him. He's the leader. He's my master. And I'm his follower. I'm his disciple. That's what disciples do. They follow their master. So we want to make sure that we stay close to Jesus in order to do the will of the Father. For every one of us, the will of the Father can be slightly different based on our circumstances, but based on our state in life. We each have different, you know, a different way to carry out God's will. And that's why it's important for us to keep in touch with Jesus, to remember that we stay connected with him and not just go off on our own, even if we're trying to do good. So with that in mind, let's look at the gospel from the fifth Sunday of Easter. And again, on the program, if you're new to the program, first of all, welcome. Thank you for joining me. If you are new to the program, I always start with the gospel. The gospel, the church teaches, has a place of prominence. The four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they have a place of prominence among all of the books of the Bible. So I like to start with the gospel because the way these Sunday Mass readings are put together, the gospel message is supported. The main message for the Sunday Mass readings is included in the gospel. And that message is supplemented by the first reading, the responsorial psalm, and to a lesser degree by the second reading. So the main message is in the gospel, and then we look at the other readings and try to find a common theme, and that's how we do it. So anyway, we're going to start with the gospel. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, Jesus said to his disciples. Now, before I do this, just keep in mind that the rest of this gospel passage is going to consist of the direct words of Jesus. So with the exception of the fact that St. John wrote, Jesus said to his disciples, the rest of this gospel passage are the words of Jesus. And the fact that he's saying these words to his disciples, that's you and me. So these words are directly focused toward us. So let's listen to what Jesus has to say. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. So, you know, obviously this message is very clear what Jesus is saying. At least the concept is clear. You are the branches, you and me, we are the branches, and Jesus is the vine. And he's calling us to remain connected to him. Now, obviously, I think the best example of this is by remaining loyal to the teaching of his church. So we certainly don't want to ever do anything. And then, look, this gets done sometimes. But when we look at the words of Jesus, it's just about impossible to justify saying that, well, I know the church teaches this, but I don't believe that that's going to be that effective, so I'm going to bend the rules a little bit. I don't know how you can look at these words and justify that. Because it's clear that Jesus is saying, I am the vine. My Father is the vine grower. So Jesus is obedient to his Father. When he came to earth, he did the will of the Father. Jesus established a church, and we are invited to connect with Jesus or to encounter in Jesus primarily through his church. He created a church. The church has teachings. And if we want to bear good fruit, do the will of the Father in our lives, there's no way that we can separate ourselves from the church. And it's important that we remember that. And that's why, you know, some people may say that, and I know the pandemic messed a lot of people up, that I don't really feel the need to go to Mass. I don't feel the need to worship in a communal setting. But in reality, that's the way the Lord designed it. He expects us absolutely to pray in private, but he also expects us to gather together in worship. And if we stick with Jesus and his church, then we are going to bear good fruit in our lives. Otherwise, we're not. And you know, look, you don't have to look too far to see examples of where this plays out, where people do break from the church, but still claim to be Catholic. It happens. But what Jesus is saying, if you do this, you're not going to bear good fruit. You're not going to be doing what the Father wants. Now, it's up to us to either accept that or reject it. I don't know about you, but I'm going to put my money on Jesus. If he says it, I'm going to listen to him. And now to a lesser degree, now this is where I get myself in trouble. I don't have a problem obeying all the teachings of the church, because I can honestly say I do that. If the church teaches something, I believe it, I will obey it. You know, I'm not saying I never mess up. That's called sin. And yes, I do sin. But intentionally, my intention is to obey the church. Because in doing so, I'm obeying Jesus. But what Jesus, this is where I get into trouble to a lesser extent, but equally wrong. Jesus says, where is it? I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you'll bear much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. This is where I get into trouble. Because as I told you at the beginning, sometimes I go off and do something, whether I'm writing, whether I'm speaking, whether I'm doing radio, and I forget to ask the Lord to help me. I remember most of the time. I'm getting better at it, but there are times when I forget. I don't want to do anything, even if I'm delivering a good message. I want to make sure that I'm delivering the message that Jesus wants me to deliver. So whatever you're doing, if you're making a major purchase, if you're thinking about a job change, if you're thinking about joining a new parish, it's always a good idea to ask Jesus to help you. Just give him a chance. Lord, I'm planning on doing this. Let me know what you think. You know, but don't try to do everything on your own. Always say a quick prayer and you're going to be much better off. Let's look at the first reading, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, verses 26 through 31. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing he was a disciple. Imagine that. I mean, Saul, otherwise known as Paul, was a notorious persecutor of Christians. And now Jesus gets a hold of him and he tells Paul that you are the one chosen by me to be the apostle to the Gentiles. So Paul tries to join up with the other disciples and they don't want anything to do with him because they're scared to death of him. But then Barnabas took charge of him, back to the reading, and brought him to the apostles. And he reported to them how he had seen the Lord and that he had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. He moved about freely with them in Jerusalem and spoke out boldly in the name of the Lord. He also spoke and debated with the Hellenists, but they tried to kill him. And when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him on his way to Tarsus. The church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria was at peace. It was being built up and walked in the fear of the Lord. And with the consolation of the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers. You see, the church is being built up through the help of the Holy Spirit. The church, not just each person who encountered Jesus going out and sharing his or her personal experience with Jesus. This is the church. And even Paul goes and tries to meet up with the apostles. And they're scared of him. But he recognizes that even he, who was called to do some difficult things, he remains connected to that vine, who is Jesus. Paul didn't try to do it all on his own. There is strength in numbers. And no greater example exists of that than the church. Facing tremendous persecution, the church grew and continues to this day and will continue until the end of time because of her connection to Jesus. Responsorial Psalm, Psalm 22, I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. Did you hear that? Did you get the assembly of your people, the connection to the church? Oh, praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people, not just in my home, which is necessary, but I also am going to gather together in the assembly at Mass to praise you. I will fulfill my vows before those who fear the Lord. The lowly shall eat their fill. They who seek the Lord shall praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations shall bow down before him. To him alone shall bow down all the sheep. To him alone shall bow down all who sleep in the earth. Before him shall bend all who go down into the dust. And to him my soul shall live. My descendants shall serve him. Let the coming generation be told of the Lord, that they may proclaim to a people yet to be born the justice he has shown. I will praise you, Lord, in the assembly of your people. We're going to gather together as a community of individuals forming one body, the mystical body of Christ, the church. And together we worship the Lord. Right? Together, not individually, you know, individually in community. Does that make sense? Like a believers united praising the Lord. That's the way God designed it, by sending Jesus into our world to found a church. The second reading is the first letter of St. John, chapter 3, verses 18 through 24. Children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Now, this is how we shall know that we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts before him and whatever our hearts condemn. For God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence in God and receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And his commandment is this: we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who keep his commandments remain in him and he in them. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit he gave us. You know, So if you're looking for a thread which unites this reading with the other readings, what jumps out at me is those who keep his commandments remain in him and he in them. And the way that we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit he gave us. The Spirit is really the soul of the church, and obeying the commandments, the teachings of the church founded by Jesus Christ, is the way we know that we remain connected to the vine. We remain connected to the vine. We are the branches. And, you know, there is going to be pruning involved sometimes. And that pruning is going to involve suffering. It's going to involve disappointments. It's going to involve us sacrificing in order that we can be more faithful to the Lord. I mean, it's obvious we see this a lot during the Lenten season, where we try to disconnect from the things that may be causing us to not grow closer to Jesus. And that's all part of that pruning process. Because, you know, we do have a fallen human nature, and we tend towards sin. We tend toward selfishness. And in order to really follow the Lord and ultimately to receive the peace that every one of us is looking for, it's a matter of following the will of God before anything else. And that sometimes means our will, God's will. They're not going to always match. And are we willing to do what he wants instead of what we want? And that's part of that pruning process. And the more we do that, the more peace we're going to find. And that's honestly the way we're going to get to heaven, by doing the will of the Father. But it's not always an easy process. You certainly look at the people in the early church, the persecution that they suffered, and you realize their pruning was very painful. But in order to grow closer to the Lord, to grow in faith, to do his will, we're going to have to be willing to accept that pruning process. And it starts with following the commandments that the Lord gives us through his church via the Holy Spirit. Not always easy, because we live in a world that isn't too friendly toward the teachings of the church anymore. You see a lot on the news and on social media of the world's beliefs are different than the beliefs of Jesus as spoken through his church. So the key is to remain connected to Jesus Christ, the vine. And we're going to bear some good fruit in our lives and do what the Lord wants us to do and ultimately reach our home in heaven. Okay, we are just about out of time. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in and joining me this week. If you have any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Thank you for all your financial donations. You keep my ministry going, and I'm very grateful for that. If you want to contribute to my ministry, you can do so by visiting my website, followingthetruth.com, and clicking on donate. Again, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. The fact that you're hanging out with me, and I look forward to joining you again next week right here on the program. God bless you.